We are the light of the world. Listen, we are the light of the world, okay? And if you are the light of the world being the kingdom, listen, existing on this earth as he is, you must understand that you cannot operate in unjust emotions. How are you the light of the world and your emotions are out of control? How are you the light of the world and you are not being governed by the eternal ecclesia of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, kings. I am back again to bring you a message from the Lord Jesus Christ, because guess what? We have to continue to advance in his kingdom and advance his kingdom, because the darkness is advancing its kingdom. Oh, come on here. Yep, I'm starting. We are on part two of unjust emotions in the ecclesia. Why are we going down this train of thought? Why is God saying this is what I need for my people who are called by my name to understand? Well, I will tell you, because if you continue to operate unjustly through your emotions, through your own sentiments, through your own feelings, and continue to try and put that on God, listen, he's going to have to respond. Oh, come on here. I told you last week that sentiment cannot govern a kingdom. Sentiment will always choose comfort. It will always choose compromise, and it will always what? Choose itself. But the kingdom is governed by righteousness. And Jesus is the true example. He never, ever moved by pity. He never moved by pressure. And he also was never moved by personal pain. Oh, come on. Because to walk this thing out, to work out our soul salvation, you are going to go through some personal pain. But Jesus himself was always motivated by what his Father revealed to him, which is why he said, I do nothing that I do not see my Father do. And he also took on a disposition in the posture of, nevertheless, thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy Father's will be done, not my own. Oh, come on here. So I warned you last week that whenever sentiments govern you, you make earthly covenants, earthly agreements with things God never authorized. Oh, come on here. Now, this week, I'm going to give you very strategic points and pieces of information to help you with where you are in your walk, right? So the first point that I want you to understand is, when sentiments rule, emotions will always seek convenience and contentment over the king and his kingdom. Come on. The reason why you're saved is not for yourself. It's to become a citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to begin to prepare to return home to eternity where your first home resides. Oh, come on. My second point today is, when sentiments rule, it does not slow obedience down, it reroutes obedience. It furloughs obedience. It redirects obedience. And it interjects a form of obedience. Oh, come on. Do you keep want to produce in a form for your king? Or do you want to become as he is, so are you in this world? I mean, that is the promise. But if you are failing to be able to obey his commands, if you're failing to be able to keep his commands, if you're failing to be a keeper in the kingdom, listen. You cannot expect the increase nor the invitation to come up higher or even to enter into eternity. Oh, I just said a lot. Point three, the modern church, which is supposed to be the ecclesia, listen, as well as the bride of Christ, found without spot nor wrinkle, has been seduced into romanticizing emotional decisions and labeling these very preferences as discernment. Oh, listen, I'm taking my own self out of here. This should be causing you to get stirred up in your very spirit. This should be causing your mind to begin to reevaluate how you're making decisions in the kingdom and for the king. Is it through your sentiment? Are you literally falling in love over and over again with your very own decisions or emotional decisions, should I say? And then are you labeling your emotional decisions as discernment? I'm telling you, this is what we have to re-examine from day to day as we're walking this out, especially as we are working out our soul salvation. Now, I say this because the scripture exemplifies how kingdom government demands that its citizens weigh feelings against scriptural truth in the life of Jesus Christ. I wouldn't tell you this if this isn't so, but I promise you, if you really sat down to read the scripture to make it applicable and not just some story, you would find this over and over again. Because listen, people did what they wanted to do all the time in scripture. And God also rendered his judgment over and over again. So how is it that now all of a sudden we're living by a different gospel? How is it now that all of a sudden the same gospel from then is not the same gospel of now? How is it all of a sudden that Jesus the Christ gospel has been changed? It's been shifted to something foreign to its very own kingdom. I'll tell you how it's been infiltrated by doctrines of devils. And the scripture told you to become aware to be able to discern this. In fact, I want you to understand that kingdom government rejects anything that leads us outside of divine instructions. Divine instructions is what we're going after, and God's divine timing is what we should be going after. And we also should be going after God's divine production. Come on here today. Straight out the gate, I'm helping you to clear up this gray. Because in the kingdom, there is no gray. In the kingdom, there's only divine instructions and your ability to follow them and keep them and produce from them. So with that being said, I want us to look closely at three scriptural exposures of how unjust sentiment creates disobedience, delay, and ultimately death. The first type of sentimental response we're going to address today, because I don't believe we're going to be able to get through all three in this one teaching, because it's too deep, it's too full, and it's too vast, and it's too important for us to really slow down and begin to understand what really took place in the scripture so that we can make the scripture applicable to our everyday lives. I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ that absolutely believes one of the major problems with Christians of today is that the scripture is not applicable. Church of today is like a fast food restaurant. It's like Burger King, have it your way. I want a little Jesus. I want a little sentiment. You understand that it's bringing everything together, and Jesus or the church or the ecclesia, as we know it to be according to scripture, is now not what it is. It is now this hodgepodge and this influx of any kind of doctrine that makes all the world of a difference, because Jesus never included himself in any of the other doctrines. He came and he said, first of all, I'm coming with the government of eternity. I'm walking to set order. But here's some kind of way today, we're walking to soothe our sentiments. And we're trying to call it discernment, when it's just our preference of what we would hope Jesus would allow us to do. But let's go with this. So the first sentiment and the first sentimental response we're going to look at today is our emotional sentiment. Where does that land us? That lands us and leads us by our own pity, by our own grief, and by our own fear. I want you to take down our biblical example today is absolutely Lot's wife. And I know I mentioned this a while ago, but today we're going to pull it out. And I want somebody to pull up Genesis 19, because we're going to walk through this, okay? Now, what I want you to understand and what I want you to be able to diagnose, because you have to be able to diagnose when this is existing in you. So this is a diagnostic study as well. From an apostle standpoint, the only thing I see is disobedience masked as compassion. Oh, come on here. Disobedience masked as compassion. And I'm going to take you through how or why I am saying this, because you have to know when your very own disobedience is masked as compassion. Why do I say that? Because when you look at pity, I want you to understand anytime you're pitying something, it is the posture of your very own heart. Oh, come on. I'm going to break this down for you as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to sober you up some more today. I'm going to break your sentiments off of you. Why? Because your sentimental responses is keeping you out of the King's world, his kingdom, and also keeping you out of eternity. How can he trust you when you haven't even allowed him to give you a heart of flesh that moves whichever way that he so wills, that does the will of the Father, that has the will of the Father inside of, that walks in agreement? Come on here. The reason why I'm saying this is because you could only have this posture of pity. She could only have this posture of pity because what? Of her own feelings of mercy towards another God's work. Come on here today. Because Genesis is all about what? This particular passage is about them escaping before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. We all know this from one perspective, but I'm gonna give you a different perspective today. Pity, grief, fear, pity, heart posture, grief, mind posture, fear, spirit and will posture. Oh, come on here today. When you think of pity, I want you to think of feeling of mercy towards another God's work. This is the problem that God has with you when you have pity on his adversary, when you have pity on the work of the adversary that's against the very own God that you profess and that you confess that you belong to, but yet you have feelings of mercy towards another God. You have compassion towards another God. You have condolences towards another God. You have empathy towards another God. You have mercy towards another God. You have sorrow and sadness towards another God. Come on here. I'm going to break this down for you. You actually have sympathy towards another God. You actually have tenderness towards another. You actually have warmth towards the Lord's adversary. Because when he starts breaking you up and the work starts happening and provision come for change, for protection, you turning around like Lot's wife. Oh, thinking about what you losing. And you didn't forgot that you're supposed to be looking straight ahead in the direction that the Lord is taking you towards for the purpose of provision, of protection. They escaped. Everything was held off for them to escape and get to their new land of protection. Am I lying or am I telling the truth? I'm absolutely telling the truth. And the reason that this one thing could not be fulfilled was because this woman had pity towards another God's work. She had kindness. She had bits of sorrow of leaving. She started remembering tenderly the things that she may have had and the things that was good to her. But that was a whole damned land that God took all the way down to nothing, to naught. So if it was so good for his people and for the people and for his kingdom and for what he commands, then why did he take it completely down to nothing? Why did he destroy it if it was so good? Oh, come on here, pity. Come on here with the pity parties. If it's so good and God is not having mercy on it, why are you? Grief, 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 grief. Mind posture, grief, 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 grief. Grief, I want you to think about this from God's perspective. Is mental suffering towards a command or a standard or a statute or a law of the Lord? Grief. You have agony, or you're agonized, or you're anguish towards a command or standard of the Lord. Listen, she was moving on command, was she not? And we're going to get to reading the entire scripture, but I need to lay this down because I want you, as you're hearing the scripture read today, to think about this perspective. Because the issue is we don't understand and we don't have the manifold wisdom of the scripture. So now what I'm dealing with is the grief of the mental anguish, the heartache. I don't want to go. This is my home. I don't want to leave now. I'm comfortable here. I want y'all to see she was unhappy. She was not in agreement. That's why she played herself and wrecked herself. She was unhappy towards the command and the standard of protection from the Lord himself. Oh, come on here. Oh, come on here. Oh, come on. Why am I saying that? Because how many of you have found yourself gloomed and doomed because God has given you a command or a standard for your very own protection? Oh, come on here. Because he wanted you to be kept. You found misery in what is keeping you. You found it to be discomfortable. You were anguished by protection. I'm talking about all of this is in your mind. Your thought process is now anguished. Your mind is now gloomed, it's sad, it's down, because God has given you a command for your very own protection. You are remorseful for serving the God of all gods. Oh, y'all better write that down, because you got to see that you are remorseful. You are regretting that you serve the God of all gods, the King of all kings. You, in your actions, it may not be in your words, but it's in your actions. And this whole scripture is letting you know what? That your actions speak louder than your words, and God is rendering a verdict on your actions. And your sentiments, your emotional sentiments, are causing you to react and have an action that God is going to judge. He's not going to judge your lying tongue. He's going to judge how you respond. So you can tell him, I'm with you, but he's judging your actions that state you're not. Oh, come on here. Come on here. Because this mind posture, this grief posture, this mental suffering towards a command and a standard and a statue of the Lord Jesus Christ himself caused her life. She decided to take on the mind of grief. She decided to be anguished towards the command. She decided to mourn her past and not look forward to her present or her future. She made a decision to do that. because her husband was doing what? He was going forward. This is telling you, you could be walking hand in hand with somebody. Because if you read this full scripture, and we will, the angels of the Lord was rushing them out too. Hold on. It was all kind of protection around this situation for them to make it. And she took it upon herself to not keep the command. Do not look back. Oof. Fear, 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 fear. When I speak about fear concerning this emotional sentiment, I want you to look at the spirit of fear in your will posture, your spirit, your will posture, W-I-L-L. Have you turned your will over to the will of the Father, or is your will still being ruled by you, your sentiments and your emotions? These are emotional sentiments. Oh, come on here. When you think of fear, I want you to understand that you yourself and she herself was alarmed towards trusting and believing the way of the Lord. She became alarmed. She became despaired towards trusting and believing the way of the Lord. She became horrified towards trusting and believing the way of the Lord. She became suspicious towards trusting and believing the way of the Lord. She became concerned towards trusting and believing the way of. She became apprehensive. Because when you're apprehensive, you start looking back and trying to find your comfort zone. When you're apprehensive, you start looking back. What used to be seems way more better than anything that you could imagine, and you're not willing to step into the new. You're not willing to trust and believe that God has prepared a way for you, that God has made a place for you. You're not willing to trust and believe and walk forward into your new. Actually, you dread the new. Actually, you don't want to know what the new is. That's why you're apprehensive. That's why you're riddled with fear. That's why you're now jittery. That's why trust and belief is no longer a part of your life. Come on here. Now you're riddled with anxiety. Now you're riddled with, oh my God. Come on. I'm trying not to preach to you today. I'm trying to keep this thing low, 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 so you can grab a hold of it and go high, 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 high. But my very spirit man is utterly ready to go. I'm ready to fly up out of here, because this truth right here is the truth that makes you free. This truth right here is the truth that sets you free. This truth right here set you on fire, set you ablaze for the King, because you say, whoa, 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 whoa. Absolutely, King Jesus, you did not give me the spirit of fear. Clearly, I have taken on and I have agreed with your adversary. Clearly, I prefer the spirit of anxiety. Clearly, I prefer the spirit of despair. Clearly, I prefer the spirit of doubt. Not the spirit of trust and belief. Come on here. Come on here. I prefer the spirit of terror. I prefer to tell. Listen, the reason why I'm saying this, because this was a choice. She already had a directive. She knew what she was supposed to do. She knew that she was supposed to go forward and not look back. But yet, she fell in love with sorrow in a second. She fell in love with worry in a second. She fell in love with jitters and panic and suspicion. She fell in love with uneasiness. Come on here. She decided to become ye of little faith. She decided not to trust and believe, not to have faith the size of a mustard seed. Do you not know where God can keep you and take you if you only had faith the size of a mustard seed? He's saying, I just need you to work with me a little bit. I can take you from glory to glory with a little bit of faith, with a little bit of trust, with a little bit of belief. But that's not what was wanted. Sentimental responses, emotional sentiment. Thus he destroyed these cities and the entire plain, including all the inhabitants of the cities and everything that grew on the ground. But Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Come on here. Can somebody go to 19, you already should be at 19. Let me hear you start from 15 through 26. And I need you to come a little closer.
15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here.
Wait. The angels, right? Did it say the angels?
Yes.
And this we would know because we're reading our scriptures. This is the angels of the Lord Jesus Christ who show up with divine communication of instructions, saying what?
Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city.
Hold on. It talks about the Lord being merciful. It talks about how they grabbed up him and his family. Because listen, what can stand against the guards of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can prevail against the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing can prevail against the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a whole prevailing situation. This is a whole, wait a minute, I got you. And you will prevail. There's protection all around you. Oh, come on here.
And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain.
Is this a directive? Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. So we know what to do, right? The angels are telling us what to do. The angels are clear. The assignment has been given. It is nothing in between, nothing to guess, nothing to figure out. This is not a parable. This is a clear divine instruction, right? We get clear divine instructions all the time, whether it's through any one of the fivefold or threefold ministers, whether it's through the Holy Ghost, whether it's through the scripture. Listen, God is always talking to us and giving us instructions.
Escape to the mountain, lest thy be consumed.
Told them where to go. Escape to the mountain.
And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed upon me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die.
Wait a minute. See, here we go. We always telling God what we can't do. We always got something to say. Always got something to say. I'm telling you, listen, if you would just respond and be obedient from the beginning, you will reach your expected end. Because it's not, the problem is not just with Lot's wife. The problem is also with Lot. Come on. He said what?
Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar.
So Yahweh is like, come on. The whole instruction is like, come on, get to it. Get out of here. Get to this city then. Because I can't throw down and do what I want to do until you are in safe. Until you are within my provision. I can't handle my business. This way, hold on. This is the problem with us. Because see, we don't even understand or respect when God is trying to work with us. But you also don't understand or respect that when God is trying to work with you, he never, okay, I'm not even going to go there. I'm away. Maybe I won't. He doesn't change his mind what he said the first time. Oh, this is our problems with always trying to negotiate something. Because here's the thing. Let me just say this. When you negotiate with a king, that doesn't mean that the king takes the first option off the table. It's not an option. It's a directive. And the directive doesn't change. So if the location changed, there's another part to this. And the other part was what? Because this was a two-part divine instruction. The first part was what?
Yeah.
Go to the mountain. The second part was look not behind you. So the first part was go to that mountain, escape for your life. He made a negotiation for the escape for your life part. What he didn't negotiate is the look not behind thee part. And that part was still on the table. You see no place thus far where that was discussed and something else was permissible. I hope y'all seen the problem. Because this is a problem with our little earthly little minds. Because we always manipulating and bringing ourselves and our fears and our wants and our desires to a situation, but we don't negotiate the whole situation. We negotiate the parts that are most uncomfortable for us. And because Lot was doing the negotiating and not his wife, and they never had a conversation about what was the most hurtful thing for her? Oh, come on here. So that part was never negotiated. Lot is talking about what he's afraid of, and his wife situation was never addressed. That's why she lost her life. Oh, this is why we don't have other people speak on our behalf. How can somebody speak on your behalf? Oh, come on here. This is why I keep telling. I could break this down, but I'm not here for that. It's so much I want to say, but we'll expound on that at a different day and time. My main point right here, right now, is that Lot actually made an appeal. And he made an appeal to the Lord Jesus Christ's servants, the angels. And they came back with, okay, that is allowed. It's accepted. But hurry up and get on down this road because we got work to do. Come on here.
Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
She looked back. She looked back. Despite the mercy, she looked back. She looked back. Come on.
And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country.
Okay. Okay. We can stop right there because, listen, the Lord is doing what he said he was going to do. And the Lord did what he said he was going to do. Now, sometimes you don't always know that if you don't keep that command, what the reward is. And he doesn't always tell you. Because listen, he's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. And if you belong to him, you should be able to follow the rules and the regulations and uphold them. And you shouldn't test the waters. But too often we are testing the waters.
Oh,
especially now, because we now are under the blood. But I gave you a clarity. No, you under the rug. You're not under the blood. Because being under the blood, you're fighting to fulfill divine order. You're fighting to fulfill the divine command of God. You are not doing things of your own desire. So first we got Lot's petition. We got this whole conversation with the angels, right? And they're telling him, listen, escape for your life. Don't look back. Go to the mountain. God's instructions was precise. I want y'all to understand that. Where to go, what not to do, and what would happen otherwise. This was not a suggestion. It was a divine order. If you don't escape and go now, and do not look behind you, if you cannot keep this, the protection is off. The protection is off. You're out of my protective realm. That's what I want you to understand. How many times do you take yourself out of the protective realm? Over here at Rain Embassy, I talk to my disciples all the time about this very matter, because I believe as a human, because the church made with human hands is so humanistic that you never consider the fact that you constantly take yourself out of the provisions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you yourself have been provisional in the guys that you serve. That they've been keeping you. Because you are actually walking in agreement with a whole nother God that's producing for you. You'll catch that tomorrow, perhaps. Listen, I know it's not something that we want to think about. But just because you're saying that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ does not mean that you do. Your actions, your record, the record of your life tells on you and says what God you belong to. So God's instructions were precise, where to go, what not to do. They weren't suggestions. They were divine orders. And we don't want to live under divine order. On top of that, Lot's reply, oh, not so, my Lord. Oh, here we go. I keep telling y'all about your little arrogant, offensive little mouth and responses. Oh, no, not so, my Lord. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me. This is the protection of the Lord. You are talking to angels. You're talking to angels and you're telling angels that you may die. Are you kidding me? What is wrong with you? The angels have come with protective instructions from the Lord Jesus Christ because they do not represent themselves. So the angels of eternity have come to earth to have a conversation with you about the provisions that the Lord has made for you, and your response is, oh no, Lord. Evil may take over. I want y'all to see how emotional sentiments is a problem for the king. Lot's appeal from fear and from sentiment. Okay, Lot's appeal was from fear and from sentiment. Okay. Lot's appeal was from a spirit that was not of the Lord Jesus Christ. I did not give you the spirit of fear. Lot's appeal was from his own will that is rooted in his own sentiment, because he did not have the posture of nevertheless, thy will be done. Is that you? Lot's appeal was because what? He himself was dreadful. Oh no, Lord. Evil may overtake me. He himself was horrified. Oh no, Lord. I can't go to the mountains. He himself, oh no, was riddled with anxiety. Come on here. Need I say more? Go back and listen to the message. You'll get all that you need to get. I'm wanting to show you how you're constantly in argument with the divine order of Jesus Christ and constantly trying to make these negotiations. And when he says, okay, you yourself can't even remember the full command, because you're negotiating the part that you're not comfortable with. Okay. He proposed an alternative, Zor. Why? Because it seemed more manageable emotionally. He could manage the thought of going a little distance to a small town. King Jesus, oh, King Jesus, what? You can't live with a king because your mind is too small. And your small emotions become large and exasperated emotions anytime he asks you to do something that does not feel good to you. Oh. So this is why I'm teaching what I'm teaching, because I'm teaching you that you must. It's a requirement in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to govern your emotions, to put your emotions under the blood so that you can come up as a governor of your emotions, so that you can respond appropriately to the King of all kings. We serve the King of all kings. We serve the Lord of all lords. We don't serve lowercase kings and lords. Perhaps you do. Maybe you're serving that lowercase G God. Oh. You gotta examine your life. You gotta examine your fruit. You have to examine your sentiments. You have to examine the product from your sentiment. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. The angels replied, and they said to Lot, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. So go. Go so I can handle. Are y'all understanding? Listen, they had to come into some kind of agreement because God's like, I want to keep Lot. The angels and the Lord had to come into some kind of agreement so that he could keep Lot, but so that he could keep the timing of destroying what was in line to be destroyed. You are the delayer. God is working with you. He's trying to keep you. He wants to keep his time. He wants to keep his word. Are you the problem? Are you the reason why God's word can't be kept? Are you the reason why God's word can't come to pass concerning your life, because you are the delayer and the dereller because of your own sentiments? Come on here. You don't even know when God's working with you. You don't even respect his mercy on your life. He's been working with you. What do you mean, Lord, have mercy on me today? He's had mercy. How many times has he kept you? How many times has he shown mercy upon your life? How many times has he made provisions for you to be kept, and you still have not respected nor honored the king by showing up, not talking, and just following his divine order? You, your sentiments, your earthly government is the problem in the kingdom. And now his church is infested with doctrines of devils because people have surrounded his angels, his government, his laws, his rules, and his regulations with their own personal preferences. Lord, have mercy on the church. Lord, have mercy on those who are claiming to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, King Jesus, to have mercy on these foolish, unwise men who do not read your law, don't keep your law, don't understand your law, does not understand your kingdom, and do not want to produce for you. And now got souls derailed and delayed out of purpose, out of provision. They are not in alignment with eternity. They are aligned to destruction. God permitted the change out of mercy. I need y'all to understand that today. And I need you to ask yourself, how many times has God permitted change out of mercy for you? And you still giving him nothing, attitude, disagreement, angst, anguish to do his will. And if you tapped into Tapping Tuesday, I walked through how Jesus himself was anguished, and he came with a nevertheless. But why can't you? God permitted the change out of mercy, not agreement with sentiment. He was not agreeing with the sentiment of Lot. He was agreeing with what he was about to do, his plans. Eternity had to pause judgment until Lot complied. You don't understand the king that you serve. You don't understand how much he goes above and beyond for you. You don't understand his leaders, how they go above and beyond for you to be saved. And you still can't keep divine order. You still popping off and saying, not so, apostle, not so, prophet, not so, pastor, not so, bishop, not so, evangelist. You still popping off with the not so. You still not in agreement. You still keep forgetting his mercy. I'll tell you again, that didn't happen because God agreed with Lot's sentiment. He did not. And if you listen to my message from last week, I talked about how God reconciled us unto himself. The reconciliation was not because he agreed with our sin. I told you that. So there is no such thing that you can come to the Lord and you can remain the same. He did not die on the cross for you to remain the same. He didn't die on the cross because he agreed with you being born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He doesn't agree. He agrees that your new created spirit should grow up and begin to choke out sin and begin to take over iniquity. He agrees that his blood is more than enough. He agrees that his grace is sufficient. He, listen to me. He agrees that there are new mercies every day for you to take a hold of your new creative spirit. I know this gospel. You don't. But I know it, and I'm going to teach it to you so that you can have life and life more abundantly, and so that you can enter into eternity. Because if you really understood what you do from day to day out of your sentiments and your emotions is deadly in death, would you still choose it? If you understood that just like Lot's wife, did y'all notice she doesn't have a name? That's how he's going to do us. He blots us out. He blots our name out of eternity. We have an opportunity to enter back into eternity. But if we don't pick up our bed and walk, if we don't ever agree with eternal divine order, he blots your name out. Find it in the scripture because it's true. And I know you want to preach, but I'm under the blood. No, you're under the rug. And soon you will be 6 feet under the ground. And after that, guess what? Your spirit man is going even further down into the eternal hellfire. Why y'all laughing? It's true. It Listen. If it wasn't so, I would not tell you. But it's so. And that's why I'm telling you. I cannot lie to you as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as I said, every Sunday I come up here to save your life. As a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, my only desire is for you to know Jesus the way that I know him. And for you to stop playing with your life, because the enemy is laughing at you. And the enemy is laughing at the Lord saying, see, told you, that one that you said is your servant, they're not going to serve you. They're going to serve me. And just like you don't like to be embarrassed and shamed, nor does Jesus, but y'all don't look at him like that. Because if you put the shoes on the other foot and everything, you've helped this person, you've given them life, you've clothed them, you've helped them and made available every resource that they need. And the only thing they can do is curse you. The only thing that they can do is show that they're not with you. The only thing they can do is make a mockery of everything that you said that they were going to do. Everything that you said that they are. They make a mockery of it. Because that's what we do from day to day when we continue to choose darkness over light. When we continue to choose our emotions over truth. When we choose our sentiments over divine order. I want y'all to understand that God permitted the change out of mercy, not out of agreement to Lot's sentiment. Eternity paused its judgment until Lot complied. Eternity paused its judgment until Lot complied. The angels were telling, come on, haste, haste, haste. We got work to do. Then get on over to this small city and not up the hill since you're afraid. This is the mercy of God, but not his ideal instruction. He gave his ideal instruction of where it was most safe for you. And you did a whole negotiation to go someplace less than. You are the lesser. You don't want to come high. He sent him to the high mountain. And he said, no, I'll go over to the small city. I want you to understand, and I said it earlier, it's better to agree the first time. There's all kinds of things that have to change up and happen with this new agreement. The first thing that happened was what? Lot's wife looked back. Oh my God. The first thing that happened was that she lost her life. That was the first thing that happened that showed you that God was not in agreement with the change. The reason why I'm saying that is because when you're talking to a king, you got to remember the whole list. And what you want is God to say, but, because this is how you do your leaders. And I know it's been done to me. Hey, can I do X, Y, and Z? Or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Are you all right with that? Yeah, I don't have a problem with that change. And then I come ready to do something, and the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth step is absolutely not even on the table anymore. Just because I said yes to step one. Asking about step one did not disqualify step two, three, four, five, and six. Oh, come on here with your small minds. Come on here. Because you came to the table under your own sentiment. And because you had a problem truly with one, two, three, four, five, and five, but you was willing to work with one, you only talked about one. So Lot didn't have a problem with not looking back. He was like, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to go up to the mountain. I don't have a problem going to the small city though. Can I go to the small city? But he got a wife. This is what happens with your, oh, come on here. Not understanding that you're in a unit and you are your brother's keeper. Well, God, you know, also, listen, I got a problem with the mountain, but my wife got a problem with leaving. She's going to have a more difficult time not looking back. So I know you said for us not to look back. But if she looked back, what can be done about that? Can we work with that? That wasn't even on the table for negotiation from him. And this is how many of you do. Your God and your leaders. You're always negotiating your own sentiment. You're always negotiating for what feels good to you, what will be better for you. But God didn't give you the ministry. He gave your leader the ministry. So how are you petitioning on your own behalf and leaving out your leader? Oh my God. How are you thinking things are going to work better or should be done a different way without even consulting? Well, what did God even say to you? I just know the instruction that you gave me. I'm not here to preach that today. I just want you to be able to look at yourself. But I'm going to give you those little nuggets, because if you can't handle looking at yourself, you'll never be in that position to be able to think about others, because you couldn't think beyond yourself. And this man lost his wife. Lot's wife looked back. Despite mercy, despite safety, she violated the original command. And because of that, she perished. What I want you to understand is that mercy does not override the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even that permitted derailment, detour, had boundaries. It did not take everything off the table. And what we like to think is, oh, God did it. Oh, this is us. You know, listen, because we are a trip. We like to say how God did something for us. Ugh! We like to give that testimony. But what we don't like to do is examine what was the exchange. What is he expecting from you? Did you pay up on that? Are you actively paying up? Oh, we don't like to do the second half. So yeah, he permitted the detour, but he never changed his plan. When you love what God is destroying, excuse me, I told you earlier, this is a problem of loving his adversary. Many of you have a problem with loving God's adversary, and you're trying to say that you don't. But the number one distinguishing point is that you can feel hostile towards his adversary. You feel pity, and you actually feel hostile against his plan. You feel hostile against God's divine order and pity towards what he's destroying. Listen, you got to take a minute and pause for the cause. Because I ran down pity, I ran down grief, and I ran down fear. And all of those are the Lord's adversary. Did you think about that? So when you're walking around pitying change, when you are walking around grieving change, when you're walking around in fear of change, you are walking around in agreement with the Lord's adversary that is adversely making movements and moves against your life, against your prosperity, and against your salvation, and you have the nerve to be mad at God. You have the nerve to move with his adversary. You have the nerve to have mercy on his adversary. And he is saying right here, come on and go, because I'm about to judge my adversary. And she, oh, but I live there. Oh, but I such and such. Oh. Listen, if you stick around me, I'm telling you from the jump. What? No, I don't like devils. No, I don't hang out with devils. No. We're not going to be together long if you're going to be an avid liar. We're not going to be together long if you can't handle the truth and if you can't live in truth. We're not going to be together long if you are delusional. We can't. What does light have to do with darkness? Why? Because I know that you are a walking judgment. God is judging you as you are walking next to me at any given moment. You about to drop dead. I don't want to be there. I don't want to witness your death. I want to witness you rising. So I'm giving you every tool. I'm giving you every piece of wisdom for you to rise. And you keep downgrading yourself. Death is at your door because you can't receive truth. And you don't want life. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be a part of the destruction of you. I want to be a part of the resurrecting of you. But if you don't want to be resurrected with Christ, and you only want to agree with his very adversary, mercy does not override the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even permitted detours have boundaries. But when you love what God is destroying, listen, you will disobey even in movement. In other words, she was moving. Was she not? She was moving forward, but looking backwards. Disobedience was moving with her. Listen, disobedience has a stench. I want y'all to take good note on this. Disobedience has a stench. It has a smell. Disobedience has a sonar. It has a sound. It travels with you. This stench of disobedience goes wherever you go. This sound of disobedience rings out from your lungs wherever you speak. It just stays within your body. It grows. It embodies you. Oh, come on. Oh, I'm walking you through something because I want you to understand. First, it cloaks you with its stink. First, disobedience cloaks you with its stench. It stinks. God is like, ooh, no, 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 no. You don't belong to me because you can't keep my commands. No, 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 no. You are not a sweet, savory stench. No, you stink. And I'm tracking you in the spirit because you're foul. Oh! You are foul. And you know as you walking and moving and disobedience, more of those foul spirits attached to you. 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 You know how when you're out in the forest and they're like, oh, the last thing you want to do is get cut. Because when you're bleeding, the wolves going to smell it. The bears going, all of that thing, all of the prowess out there that attracts the stench of blood is coming for you. But you don't believe that your disobedience has a stench. You don't believe that your disobedience attracts everything that supports disobedience. Oh, okay, if you don't know what that is, I'm gonna take you back. Your disobedience attracts sadness, sorrow, tenderness, empathy, discomfort, gloom, unhappiness, worry, pain, regret. Listen, this is you on any given day, several times a day. You're horrified, you're jittery, you're doubtful, you're dismayed, you're apprehensive, you're anxious, you're worried. Are you understanding? Yes. You have a stench. And every day that you walk in disobedience, you're growing in gross darkness because of your choice. The walking dead. Lot's wife may have given up the ghost in that moment, but listen to me, you are the walking dead. You are not building up your new creative spirit. There's no life in you. You are going deeper and deeper and deeper into this thing. Undisciplined, unrighteous. You don't have the markers of Jesus Christ. He's looking at you in the spirit, and you are turning into gross darkness, just like his adversary. Oh my God. Disobedience has a stench, and it travels with you. It just stays with you. It embodies you. See, first it's outside of you, but then it's inside of you. Oh, come on here. It consumes you. And then it marks you as its own. How long have I been going? Huh? I'm going to finish this. Listen, they like, when I ask how long have I been going, and then I say I'm going to finish it. No, it's not going to be much more. I really am going to finish this because I want to get to our next part, because we had three parts to this. We have three different sentiments to look at, and I'm going to describe how they show up biblically, scripturally, so that you don't say that I'm in my feelings. No, you want to find me in the word. Verse 15, the two angels are speaking. Lot is the one that they're talking to. The command is, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, lest thou be consumed. This is a divine command issued through what? His divine angels, his own messengers. This message came from eternity. 16. The first problem, the first action was Lot delays. I showed y'all Abram. He got up and he got about the business. This is a whole conversation. Come on here. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to show you that you always want to talk about something, and you're not quick. You're not hasting to complete the task. Lot's delays. The angels take him and his family by the hand. Come on here now. We got to get on up out of here. This is an act of divine mercy and provision. How many times have somebody came to you and said, listen, you are behind in time, and grabbed your hand to get you down the line? I do it all the time as the Lord's apostle. If you with me, I'm like, listen, this is what's about to happen. There's no more conversation about this. This is what God has said, and this is what we're going to complete. We good? We good. All right, let's go. Now, what we take for granted is the fact that the Lord's mercy is what shifted the angel's physical intervention, not Lot's request. Oh, you know how you like to brag on what you asked the Lord? That's not what moves heaven. That's not what moves earth. The Lord's mercy is what moves the situation. That's why you saw David, Lord, have mercy on me. He was always listening. All right. In verse 17, the angels again, they're giving a command. What is the command? Escape for your life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay in the plain. Escape to the mountain. This is a direct succinction of the commands. Now, the angels of the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you, and you acting like you can actually have a conversation. Well, let me think about that. Not recognizing when God's agents are speaking on his behalf, it is the Lord's authority that's what commanding the situation. All right. 18-19, Lot. He's pleading his sentiment. Oh, not so, my God. Oh, not so, my God. I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Lot's petition came out of fear. It came out of his sentiment. It came out of his wants. It came out of his own desires. It came out of what he felt like he needed. Not what the Lord wanted. So now he's negotiating God's instructions to fit his very own comfort. Is that you? In 20, he continues down this same path. He talks about, but there's a city that's near. It's a little city. And in that city, he declared his soul would live. In the city, he declared his soul would live. But God already declared his soul would live in that mountain, don't you think? He didn't think so. He didn't agree with that. So he presents this alternative plan. But this is not the original instruction. So now, divine communication is going forth. See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. The angel is saying, okay, permission is granted, not as what? God's will, but as a permissive will. See, I'm gonna give you a little insight. I don't live by the permissive will of Jesus Christ. I live in the will of Jesus Christ. And many of you are still around because you've been petitioning, you've been crying out, and he's been moving things, but you are only in the permissive will. You are not in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is an ending to that. I need you to understand this. Commands come from God, and they are delivered by his angels. And in this day and time, they're delivered by his agents, be it his angels, be it a dream, be it his prophets, be it his apostles. Listen to me. You You've got to understand that. Stop pretending and stop declaring over your very own life that you're the only one that can hear about your own life and that God only talks to you directly. You a lie. And let me tell you why. You're not clean enough. You can't hear. You don't have a face-to-face relationship with him. He's been trying you for years and you still ain't got it right. And you want his servants to believe that you hear better for yourself than they do. Not yet. It's not that you can't, but you ain't been under construction. You ain't been at the straight gate. You've been at the wide one and tracking on down and in and out and serving and eating with every God at their table. And you want an agent of the Lord Jesus Christ to believe that you can hear from the Lord God Almighty himself. No, you can't. Can't. But if you follow these teachings, you may will one day. Submit your will for his will. All right. Lot speaks twice, both times driven by fear and sentiment. God allows the shift, but the original command, what? Remains. I'm going to keep hammering that. I want you to understand that. The original command was flee to the mountain and don't look back. So when you're at the table with the king and you call yourself negotiating and you only negotiate one part of the command and he gives mercy upon that because you're like, oh Lord, I'm just too weak. I'm just too small. I'm not there yet. Listen, we all got to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is not to condemn you, but this is to convict you and cause you to do something different. Turn from your wicked ways. Go and sin no more. Absolutely, my messages are designed to cause you to go and sin no more, because now you understand how you've been sinning. Before, you didn't understand, and I absolutely understand it, but you will not be able to listen to not one of my teachings and not be convicted and go and sin no more. Flee to the mountain, don't look back. That remained. Provisions were made. He said, okay, you can go to Zoar. But the disobedient part was Lot's wife looking back, which still led to judgment. And what we want to believe is, it's under the blood and there's no judgment. Oh, yes, it is. I want to break this down. If you do not remember, line upon line, upon line upon line, upon precept, because listen, we're going to dig into round two next week. The instruction, this is my third time giving it, or maybe four. The instruction was escape to the mountain, and it was a clear divine direction. It was a command. And this is what I said the other day. Just because God didn't say, or the angels didn't say, I command you to go to the mountain. Because this is that religious, rigid spirit that wants to go to the scripture and say, there was no commandment. God didn't command anything. Well, if the angels don't represent themselves and they represent the Lord, then it was a command. Because you're under a king. Let me help you with that. Sentiment. Lot feared hardship in the mountains, despite the eternal protection that was guiding him, that was surrounding him, that had him. The petition, he requested a smaller and easier way. That smaller and easier way today is the wide gate. This path was based on his comfort, not the command. Therefore, production for what Jesus wanted was prohibited. Because you can't tell me that he wanted Lot's wife to die. That's not the God that we serve. That was not what he wanted. He wanted them to go up to the mountain with the provisions of the angels that he sent to protect them. That's what God wanted. And because Lot wanted comfort and his wife wanted comfort. She wanted what she had, and he wanted an easier, smaller task at hand. So now we got death. Provision. God granted his plea, but the mercy did not cancel the command not to look back. I keep saying this again and again. We do not know the God that we claim that we serve. We do not know how he operates. We do not think about these things, which is why from day to day, we don't think that we are downgrading ourselves and putting death on ourselves because we are simply in disagreement through our sentiment. Disobedience. Lot's wife looked back, violating the instruction and turning into a pillar of salt. That's it. We keep thinking that there's no verdict or there is no that there is no consequence to our disobedience, that God is just a merciful God and he just loves us so much. That's the false gospel that's being taught, this false love that God just, he's a forgiving God, do whatever you want. He's going to forgive you and you are going to make it into eternity. But I'm here to tell you, no, you're not. Here's my question to you today as I wrap this up. I want you to ask yourself what governmental command has God given you regarding protecting your life, and you have chosen death over life. Because when you choose to agree with his adversary and not to agree with his protection, his divine order, his divine command, his divine direction, you're choosing yourself and you're choosing your will. And therefore, you are responsible for your own outcomes. Because Jesus was clear. God was clear what outcomes he was going after. So with that being said, I'm Apostle Janita Collins. Like I said, I build living epistles unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I also want you to remember that as he is, so are we in this world, because your identity is rooted in your eternal destiny. God bless each and every one of you, and I will see you next week.